It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right. Actually, my biggest concern here is that we're going to play too much to the visuals and forget that the vast majority of our seven listeners are probably still going to listen to audio. So then that'll be no fun.
Yeah. I kind of wondered about that too, but I mean, I think one of the things that'll keep me from doing that is the weird camera placement I've got going on, because I'm looking at you over here and my camera's here. And also I'm just a tiny little thing on there. So it's like,
I'm telling you, if you switch it to gallery view in the upper right, there should be a thing that says gallery view.
No, I don't see anything like that. It's fine. It's probably good that I can't see myself, because then I'm not thinking that I'm visible to anybody.
See, we're right next to each other on mine in equal size things, except you're closer, so your head's bigger. I'm way back. You want to see a magic trick?
Okay, sure.
I can control the elements.
Wow, neat. How come back behind your left side, something's going on even when you're not making that noise?
That's just the monsters trying to get into this dimension.
The monsters trying to get into this dimension.
Yes. No. And here they come. Oh, they're here.
That is so weird.
For those of you who've always wondered what Ezzy looked like, here's Ezzy.
Unless you're listening like you usually do.
Then you're still wondering.
What if you don't even put this on YouTube? Are you committed to that?
I don't know that I am committed to that. I am super lazy.
Okay.
If I do, it also may be later. So you'd have to be pretty hardcore that, like, you listen and then you're like, you know what? I'm going to listen again, this time with visuals. But here's the thing. I talk about what Ezzy's doing normally on the podcast and nobody gets to see her then. So also, apparently she's bored. All right, whatever. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that has altered its production system to please you, the listener, due to the coronavirus pandemic. Nobody else is doing this. I'm really, frankly, shocked. No one else has changed their format to deal with this.
Just us. Everybody else is doing it just like they always did. Jerks.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 473.
So help me.
I know. I just checked before.
Checked record. Together, and yet you're still got that panicked look in your face. I'm like,
I'm so bad at remembering these things.
Wow.
I got to do all these little tricks, and if I don't do them, I don't remember.
The truth is we're actually doing this differently, not because of the coronavirus, it's because William smells really bad a lot. No, so
my nose just doesn't work. So
we are, for those of you who aren't watching visually, we are now recording the podcast via the software Zoom, and literally using its internal functions, because we found out via a test that I can turn that into a nice normal audio file. And in fact, you would have heard the intro at the beginning. You'll hear the outro at the end. And so for some of you, the podcast will be exactly the same. But if you decide to go to YouTube, and if I can be bothered to upload it, you will see the actual video that we have of this thing.
Although I can't imagine why anybody would want to do that.
People, I would love to do that more often with the podcasts I listen to, because, like, you get images in your head and you really want to see how reality matches. For example, most people probably don't believe that I record this from a mystical forest or wouldn't have thought of that. And clearly that's what's happening.
That's a mystical forest. That's what we're calling that.
What would you call it? I don't know. What do you call it?
Just a forest. I guess you were doing magic a second ago, so I don't know, I guess. Can you only do the magic in that forest?
In that spot of that forest.
Okay, well, it's a mystical forest then. Good job.
It's literally right there.
When do I get to go to the mystical forest?
Can you not see the thing for the virtual background?
No.
Okay, do you see it?
You know, you're saying...
It's still on the computer.
I don't see, like, the gallery thing you're talking about.
All right. Do you see anything on the bottom? Like, there should be things where, like, you could mute yourself or start or stop your video.
No, I don't see that either.
Do you see any controls at all?
No.
Nope. Really?
I see you in a big window, and I see me in a little window where it says $20 films, because when they prompted me to put it, like my name in there, I screwed it up. So now it says $20 films on there.
Move
I
the
see
mouse.
Recording up in the upper left-hand corner.
Move the mouse to the bottom of the screen.
Oh, and see if so. Oh, look, stuff shows up.
There's one
it's
that,
not there unless
there's
it's not there.
One that potentially says stop video or something like that. It's a little video camera one.
Yes, stop video. Yeah.
If you click on the carrot next to that.
Okay.
It opens up not a drop down. I guess it's a drop up. And one of the options should be choose virtual background.
Oh, okay. Well,
and then there are some options there. You can also upload your own thing, which is what I do. I've been using this for work a lot, and I make a different background every time. I just go to Bing images and pick something that sounds interesting, and I go with that. So the same way, if you scroll up to the top, you can probably see what I was talking about where it said gallery view.
Well, I mean, I see select a camera, video settings, and choose virtual background. That's
yes.
Just those three things.
Yes, that's under that. If you get out of there.
Yeah.
Move your mouse up near the top right of your screen.
Okay. Oh, yeah, gallery view. I see that.
Yeah, right. If you click on that, then you'll see essentially what I'm seeing, except I'm guessing will be reversed.
Wow. And well, yeah. I mean, you are in the direction that I'm looking.
Wow.
Like when I'm looking at my laptop.
Yeah.
I'm looking almost at you across on the other side of the screen.
You are to me too. Yeah. I think that would happen. So who's on the left side? Who's on the right side?
You're on the left. You're on my left.
On the left side of your screen.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm on the right side of my screen, but you're still looking at me. So your image is flipped also.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, if you right-click on your own window, there's an option to rename.
Oh, so I could put William in there.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to worry about it. This is probably boring people to death while they're
so much.
To this.
This episode is brought to you by White Claw, the booze that the kids are drinking these days.
Oh, I thought you'd be drinking Blue Claw.
Sadly, you can't buy that outside of Illinois.
Oh. Okay.
This stuff is bad. I do not recommend it.
Well, what is it exactly?
White Claw. It is the leader in the current movement of what they call hard seltzer.
Oh.
And I was under the impression originally that it was unsweetened, essentially just like they have non-alcoholic versions that are like bubbly and Carbrum or whatever. There's a few different brands that are just sparkling water with flavoring but no sweetening.
Oh.
So they're like Zilliqa. And I thought this was that with alcohol. This is not. It still has some sweetener in it, but minimal. So it's not like those weird, like, Zima, Smirnoff Ice kind of things. It's less sweet than that, but it's still a little sweet. So it's really not that good.
But it's really popular.
Yeah. With the young people's not, because they're very low in calorie and 5% alcohol, you know, people are going for it.
So when you were younger, were wine coolers a big thing when you were younger?
Yes.
Was but that before your time?
No, the timing is good. It was more of a thing before college for me, and I didn't really drink much before college.
Oh.
But yeah, no, that was a thing.
That was a huge deal when I was in high school.
And then they went away, and then they came back and didn't tell anybody. I think it's more useful to call them what the Brits call them, which is Alcopops.
Well, what are they exactly?
Generally speaking, they are referred to as malt liquor beverages. And I think if you get really technical, they count as a kind of beer.
How can they be both of those things?
Because they're poorly named. I'm not sure. But it's some very generic flavorless alcohol that then gets diluted with a bunch of sweetener and flavoring and stuff. And so the design is that it's people are like, oh, it tastes like pop or whatever, but it's got alcohol in it.
Oh, so it's basically like hard soft drinks like they have today?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Very much like that. Yeah, the process may be a little bit different. That's definitely what they're going for. It's alcohol that doesn't taste like alcohol.
Well, except for like a burn, probably, right?
Not even that, usually, because it's usually just little enough, and then people just drink a bunch of them.
Oh, so you have to drink a lot of it to get a buzz or whatever?
Depends on who you are, but they tend to have a fairly low alcohol percentage, kind of like this stuff.
Okay.
So, if this is the first time you're joining us, just don't. Like, this is not where you should come into this podcast right here.
Yeah.
Well, go back, listen to some other episodes. Don't go back too far.
It's kind of like having a child. There's never a good time.
Yeah, yeah. But let me explain to you how this show works. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And people, wonderful people, select a handful of people, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. Anyone can write in, and all of you should. We are getting very low in this.
You don't even have to be a member to submit a question.
I am, and it has happened that way. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to listen. I've had people submit questions that never knew what happened to them because they don't even listen.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're hearing us tell you this, you're listening, so I don't know. Anyway, I have a theory that things are disrupted enough because of the isolation and everything that some people aren't listening. Oh, that was cute. Look at that. We got a little forest creature.
That was a monster trying to come through, you told me.
No, this is a tonkatsu.
Oh, yo, yes, right. Your little ham chop thing.
Pork cutlet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, he's going with me. Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. So, the hat, but you guys all need to write in, please. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them to manifest physically within the hat itself. It's separate but still equal servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random. I guess I'll be drawing all of them now since the hat's with me. Read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
I thought about that. I thought about that earlier this week about how I've probably drawn more things out of the hat than you have.
Generally, yeah, because you always start first. So
right.
But it is a good time that we are doing this. We are doing this because we both got nervous about continuing to show up, even though we were isolating pretty good. Full disclosure: he should get full credit. William was nervous first, but then I was also nervous. But this works out good anyway, because this is the last time I will be around here for a while.
Yeah.
As most of you know, my father has brain tumors. As none of you probably know, my father has opted to he's not doing treatment. And I support him in the decision, and frankly, I hoped he would make this decision. He has glioblastoma, and that is bad. And even when you do good with it, it's bad. It you lose who you are way before the body dies. And he's also 85, so we were looking at no treatment or anything anywhere from a few weeks to a few months. And with all the treatments and just a hell of a time and surgery and everything and all the luck in the world, we'd get maybe another year. So he don't want to go through that. And I'm glad, and I don't want to put my mom through that. So he's dying real soon. And his brain is going faster than we necessarily anticipated. So my brother and I, who were going to go out and visit, are upping our schedule. My brother, out of concern for the virus, is driving out by himself. And then he found one of the hotels that will still stay, and he's going to stay there, and then he will drive back. I, because of my back, can't really drive cross country, or he and I would go together. So Monday, I am flying.
Well, I mean, the good news on that score is there aren't very many other people flying.
Yep. And it's I've got one connection. It's through Minneapolis. It was slightly cheaper to go through Denver, but then I looked it up, and you know what? Colorado's doing real bad.
Yeah. I mean, are you going to
They don't get a lot of mention in the papers, but Colorado's infection situation is very bad.
Are you going to wear a mask or anything?
Yeah. I've been wearing masks outside anyway. And in fact, I was going to wear, so we have just cloth ones that Trish made.
Okay.
That aren't, I mean, they're what the CDC is recommending, but I also have a friend with a 3D printer, and he's printing much better ones that are like hard plastic things and that have a little filter in front. He's giving me one of those.
The ones the Fab Lab's making?
Probably similar. It's not him. It's just a friend. My gaming group friend has it. But yeah, they're probably similar to that.
The governor, the reason I know the Fab Lab's making them is because the governor mentioned it.
Yeah, no, the governor, oh, they mentioned the Fab Lab specifically? The steam
room? The governor mentioned the Fab Lab in Iowa City is helping out.
Nice. Yeah, no, they're doing that. And in fact, we gave them, we had materials from packages and stuff from before that we gave them because it's just the right kind of stuff for it. And yeah, I've been seeing the stuff on Facebook and things. But yeah, the Fab Lab in Iowa City has been hard at work doing that. But no, this is just a thing my friend's doing. And he showed me one of them over Zoom.
Okay,
but cool. He's making me one of those, so I'll have that, so that'll be better. But again, without the virus, I'd go for a few days. I'd say what I need to say to Dad, and I'd go. I'm going for 16 days.
Yeah, that's going to be
a I'm renting trip, a sure. small, actually, I was renting a small vacation rental apartment, and instead, they already had that book, so the owners at no extra cost are giving me the townhouse on the upper level with three bedrooms that sleep six. All to myself. It's a real nice place, actually.
Yeah, that's
so
nice.
So when I am not visiting with my father, I am going to be isolating in there.
Yeah.
Working remotely as much as I can. It's going to be a crapshoot on the schedule because the days vary. And it's not just my dad. Sometimes it's taking care of my dad so that my mom can have a break. Sometimes it's running errands for them and stuff. There's a lot of factors, and my brother will be there about half the time, and then it'll just be me. So I don't know how it's going to go yet, but which means y'all might have to bear with us if the timing gets a little weird on the podcast.
Yeah.
If there's ever any doubt or concern, go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and I will keep people updated. And I think we're going to be fine. I think if things get crazy, the real answer is we'll probably just record a little earlier and I'll post it on Thursday. But I mean, I still intend to put an episode out every Thursday. But yeah, keep a look out there if you're confused why it's not there or anything like that. And to the couple of you who do occasionally email me on Thursday night because you don't see it and you think I just forgot, please keep doing that. Because half the time you're just too quick and I haven't finished it yet. But half the time I totally screwed something up and it's not there. So Davavid and Jazz have saved my butt each more than once.
Yep.
So feel free to keep that up. I'm going to be out there for a while.
I used to be pretty good at catching it too, but nowadays I might listen at midnight or something, and that's not good.
Yeah. And yeah, hopefully, I mean, if you're not seeing this on YouTube now, check YouTube, because hopefully it's going to be up there. It may be later, because I have never uploaded anything to YouTube in my life, but I don't think it'll be too bad. So with luck, I'll actually do this tonight when I do the other one. So
it's been a long time since I uploaded something, so I mean, it would.
It doesn't sound like it's complicated, though. If it's the right file format, we've got the account.
It's probably easier than it used to be.
Yeah, they probably make it simpler all the time. I mean, I've seen some dumbasses on YouTube, and they managed to get their videos up there.
So. Right. Well, I guess, yeah, that's one way to look at it.
You know what my favorite part about podcasting remotely like this is?
No, I don't think I want to know.
I'm not saying I'm doing this, but I have the option to not wear pants now. I totally cannot wear pants. I
knew you were going to say that.
Not saying that's what's happening. I'm not saying that I'm not wearing pants. I'm just saying you don't know. And okay. I like the freedom of those options.
Freedom, yeah. Mm. Yep. It's good to be an American.
Well, and I'm proud to be American, where at least I don't wear pants. All right. So, how's your week been?
You know, it's been fine. We've been watching movies, but like I can barely remember what they were because they made such a, you know, they didn't make very much of an impression. So I don't think I even have anything interesting to say about them.
Any movies that should not be watched because they were so uninteresting?
Well, interesting you should ask that, because as soon as you asked that, suddenly I remembered what one of them was. I don't think so much because I think that people shouldn't watch it, but because I remember while I was watching it thinking, would I recommend this movie? So then when you asked that question, it reminded me. We saw The Kitchen with the...
Oh, with Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah, Melissa McCarthy. Haddish.
Was Tiffany Haddish? Yeah, and then...
The gal from...
Third one.
Invisible Man, and she's also in that.
Elizabeth Olsen? No.
I don't... You know, she's also in Handmaid's Tale or whatever.
Okay. That gal.
She's the third person. Anyway, you know, it's based on a Vertigo comic.
Yeah.
Or maybe you didn't know that? Or did you know that?
I did know that.
Okay. So
I'm working on making pork chops disappear and reappear.
And it wasn't very good. I was kind of, I don't know why.
We really wanted to see it. And then it came out and all the critics were like, it is really disappointing. Not like actively bad, but just like, uninteresting and poorly done.
Well, and it was
like a huge missed opportunity.
Right, exactly. And it wasn't helped by the fact that what's the other movie called? Hustle?
Hustlers.
It came out right around the same. Hustlers, yeah. It was the, I mean, you saw that and you suggested that we should watch it. We haven't seen that one yet, but I think there were a lot of comparisons made.
Which is weird because those are very different movies.
I mean, I suppose. I mean, yeah, they are, I guess. But I mean, the general theme of a group of women sort of pushing back against their situation and, you know, I don't know how to summarize it well. But yeah, just it had potential. It could have, you could see that the cast was good. A lot of things about it. It had a lot of good things going for it, but it just didn't, I don't know if the source material was that bad, or I mean, I've never seen it. I just knew it was from Vertigo, so I never read it. You've never read it,
have I? Have not. Kitchen, no. Okay. I haven't read a lot of the Vertigo titles that are just mundane reality.
Yeah,
there's a surprising number of those. I always kind of forget, but I always like the ones that are like weird and magical or superhero-y or things like that.
One of the interesting things about the story, though, was this notion that if you live in a part of town where some kind of a criminal organization is requiring you to pay for protection.
Yep.
So, you know, racketeering and all that stuff, that the people who are paying for the protection, they portrayed the people paying this protection as like they were glad to pay it because then the people they were paying would do things for them, actually help them, like actually protect them.
And I think it varies. I've seen versions of that where essentially a gang takes a responsibility for a neighborhood or whatever. So they do insist that you pay them, but they do also keep the neighborhood running.
Well, right. In a lot of ways, that for one, I mean, I have no idea if I don't know about any of this stuff. I'm just telling you how the film portrayed it. Like, not only would they maybe...
Well, no, I'm saying from my years of extortion, like, that's how I know it to work.
But not only would they rob your place, would they, like, go take care of that for you, but they also would, you know, take some of the wealth that the organization would take some of the wealth they were getting from their criminal enterprises, and they would spend it on bribing other city officials and police, you know, sometimes to get things like maybe there was a construction job like near your neighborhood, and they would make sure that it was union, and they would make sure that they hired people from your neighborhood and things like that.
Hmm.
So like,
I don't know.
So that these criminals are celebrated like almost as if they were public officials or something.
None of my criminal enterprises have ever been financially related.
Yeah,
it's
well,
just
I don't
all
know.
Other stuff.
Well, yeah. It was kind of weird, to be honest. It's like, I was thinking while I was watching it, is it ever like this? I mean, do people who are doing this kind of thing, because there were actually times in the movie where they were going to collect their payment from their, you know, racketeering payment basically from someone, and they were smiling while they handed it to them. It's like, does it really ever work like that? Mm. So I thought that was kind of weird, but I don't know. It did make me think though about how
maybe they're also extorting the smile.
Maybe, I don't know.
You have
know.
To pay us and you have to smile or we won't protect you.
It did make me think, though, about how when people talk about economies of various places, whether it's a county or a city or even a nation, that, you know, so much exchange interaction and business transactions and stuff are like not in the, you know, not being recorded, if that makes any sense. You know, like when I was in the Soviet Union, when it was the Soviet Union, I noticed pretty easily how much of the economy, how much the Soviet economy was propped up by the black market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so but you might have the Soviet Union making statements about its economy and maybe saying it was very healthy and it was functioning. You know, well, here we have a communist society, but everyone's happy and the economy's great. But the fact of the matter is the black market was doing a lot of the heavy lifting there for a very long time. So, yeah, I think even in the United States, there's probably a huge portion of the economy that, you know, that's not taken into account.
Oh, yeah.
In all of the government numbers you get for unemployment and all that kind of stuff.
Well, and so, factors like... legalizing marijuana puts certain people whose livelihood is marijuana out of business because they can't afford to do it in a legal way, because with all that comes regulation and other things that make it too expensive and it prices them out of the market. Whereas that was their whole income before.
All right. Think
my internet connection is unstable. Everyone hold still.
Time or someone saying talking about how much it costs, but then think for a second, wow, that you know, all those billions of dollars they're talking about, that's going into this shadow economy.
Yeah.
Right. That's working for the people who are in
it. And I mean, right? And water finds its level. If you have a control of the economy and you force it legally to be a certain way and people can't survive off of that or can't get what they want or need, they're going to find ways around it.
It kind of makes you think, though, too, about, I mean, right now with everything going on, people are talking about, well, I know, how do we manage the economy? But the economy is so much bigger than it seems, or maybe bigger is not the right word. It's so much, it's so much different. I mean, I don't even know how we can make informed decisions.
Well, about it's, how to it's the reason why there are always competing economic theories. And it's the reason why the story is, if you put 12 economists in a room for an hour, they'll come out with 13 theories.
Yeah, right. Right.
Because it is very much a social science, not a hard science.
Yeah. There was one other film we saw that I remember having some definite opinions about, something that happened in the middle of it that it sort of baffled me as to the, well, it doesn't matter.
Your
I can't remember.
Voice is fading in and out, but the bits I'm getting give me the sense that you didn't say anything that would have been useful information.
No, you are correct. Oh, you know me so well. I was about to, it was going to be one of those things. Yep, that was about to happen, yes.
I love that you remember a movie and you don't remember what movie it is, but you remember the middle was important.
Well, I just remember why I thought I might remember it to talk about it. There was something that happened that it was a problem that I find with a lot of modern storytelling, and now I don't even remember what that was. Kind of a
you sound like me explaining a dream the morning after I ate too much pepperoni pizza, like when it's like gone and I'm like, but in the middle it was really, I remember this part made me angry. I don't remember what it was, but I remember I was angry.
I want to ask you, since you brought up dreams, do you have tactile sensations in your dream? Like, do you smell things and do you taste things, or do you only see and hear them?
To my knowledge, I have never had smell or taste. I believe tactile sense is rare and usually very noticeable to me and frequently will cause me to wake up.
Okay, so in those situations, okay, so the only time I can remember having what might be considered a tactile sensation in a dream was when, if I wake up, like I'm having a pain in my arm in the dream, but when I wake up, I'm laying on my arm wrong. That doesn't count to me. That's not the same thing.
Mine goes the opposite. So in the dream, I like kiss somebody and I wake up to find myself going,
oh, that's interesting.
And I felt the kiss. And when I woke up, it's because I feel that. I also, a big one for me that drives Trish nuts, understandably, is sometimes I will get very emotional in a dream and I will yell at somebody and it will cause me to start yelling in real life. But it's not the same words or anything. It's nonsense usually. It's just sounds.
That's interesting.
And it only seems to be when I'm shouting because I'm angry. Like, there's never any other time about it.
Well, something got me thinking about that question. And then I did just the tiniest bit of research on it. So I don't claim to really know very much about it. But what I could see, it's actually fairly common for people to only see and hear things. Let me tell you what made me think of it. Was I woke up one morning and I was thinking to myself that I just had a dream where I was a woman.
Okay.
Which has happened before. But then for some reason I realized that that's not really what happened. I was not a woman. I was just sort of riding around in the skull of a woman.
Like you do.
Well, I mean, I I could hear and see things, but it was almost like I could only do that because I could, like, you know, like her eyes were actually windows I could see through.
And you didn't have the sense of agency.
Yes, but I also didn't have tactile senses or I couldn't smell anything. Yeah, yeah. And then I thought about it and realized that's pretty much the way all my dreams are, even when I think I'm myself in the dream. I'm always just along for the ride.
I think that's usually the case for me. Not that part, but I only have visual and hearing.
Well, it made me wonder if this experience where I don't feel like I'm the one driving, I'm just sort of riding along, even when I'm dreaming about being myself, if that sensation is part of, first of all, what makes me be able to distinguish between a dream and reality, and also it makes me forget it because so much of our emotion, or I'm sorry, so much of our memory is not just in our brains, it's like in our whole bodily experience, right? So
I disagree with you, just specifically because from my own personal experience and from what I've heard of others, most of us don't necessarily have that just along for the ride feeling.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we are pretty good at distinguishing dream from reality. And also forgetting dreams is incredibly common. That's why you keep a dream journal by your bed, because everybody forgets their dreams almost all the time.
Right. I know. But why do they? I mean, how do we tell the difference?
I thought I had a theory, but I can't remember if it's a scientific theory or just something I read in Sandman.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. I know that we can tell the difference, and I know that we forget. What I'm getting at is why?
These are questions that science has not been super good at answering.
Well, I know.
It's right up there with why do we sleep?
I'm wondering if...
I'm positing that your specific theory is probably not the correct one, because your specific theory involves something that is not nearly as universal as those other two things.
Well, I mean, I can acknowledge that. I mean, for example, the other morning when I first thought about sort of the whole being along for the ride aspect, that's the first time I ever thought of that. That's the first time it ever occurred to me that was even true. I mean, if before that you'd have asked me, like I said, when I first woke up, I thought, well, I just dreamed that I was a woman, but that's not true. But then I sort of thought about it and I realized that dream was pretty typical for all of my dreams, which that doesn't mean that that's typical for everyone's dreams. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that maybe there's something about this I'm not saying I have it exactly right, but maybe I'm on the right track with it. I don't know. Maybe not.
I very rarely do I have lucid dreams, but I do have them. Although, once that happens, I frequently wake up fairly soon afterwards. But sometimes I have them, and I'm aware enough that I start messing with my dream.
Yeah.
Including things where I will break norms and taboos and things because it's a dream and who cares. Except for one time I had a dream where I did that, and in the dream it turned out I wasn't dreaming, and like I got in trouble for what I did. But then that was still part of the dream, but it really messed with my head. So now anytime I'm in a dream and I'm like, hey, I'm dreaming, and I'm like, you sure you want to risk that?
Yeah, I see what you, because I mean, I do the lucid dreaming thing too, and sometimes can control it. And yeah, I guess I don't know how that all fits into anything I'm saying, so I don't know. I just thought I'd bring it up because it was something.
I think it just proves you're a sociopath.
Okay, that's a perfect place to segue into how your week went.
You know that's a joke, right? You're like whatever the opposite of a sociopath is.
I have no idea. I don't know.
What is the opposite of sociopath? You're like, you have too much empathy. There should be a word for that.
You think I have too much empathy? Is that even possible?
Yes.
Okay, whatever.
It is.
Let's not talk about me. Let's not talk about me.
This week, I did an extensive investigation into you. And your psyche. No.
You've decided I'm a pork chop?
This week, I was in my house.
Yeah.
Been playing a lot of No Man's Sky. That is still fun.
Are you building anything, or are you just...
No, at this point, I'm way more focused on exploration. I mean, I'm building lots of stuff, but it's like to survive and get around. And
oh, sure.
I'm not... The base building is less... There's a lot of plot lines and quest lines and stuff, and I'm finding them interesting.
Oh, okay.
It's very cool, and it's a very great pandemic isolation game. So anybody who hasn't played it or hasn't played it in a long time, I highly recommend checking it out. Oh, really? I like that, though. Trish just said somebody with the opposite of sociopath is a sociophile. Does that mean they're also a psychophile?
Sociophile.
Too much empathy.
Okay. We should pick up No Man's Sky again. I don't know. Maybe we should.
You'll probably have to start over. If it's old enough save file, it won't work anymore.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, that's fine. It doesn't matter.
Stu has been playing vicariously through both his son and me, and recently I think I've inspired him to get back into it himself. Okay. Still reading the Discworld book. I also have just started for audiobooks for when I walk and stuff. I went back to the 13th book of the Dresden Files, and I'm going to go through those because in July the 16th book comes out. And I specifically went back to the 13th book, A, because it's a major shift in the plot, but also it's the book that originally they couldn't get the same narrator for. And so when I listened to it before, it was with the wrong guy. Later, they did a version with the correct guy, and I, of course, bought it. And so now I'm listening to that version.
But the correct guy is...
James Marsters.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was going to say. Yeah.
And it makes a huge difference. The book feels very different to me now that it sounds like him. Not just because he does the voices right, but like his pacing and emphasis is an established format, and so it sounds normal now, and it sounds like one of these stories as opposed to some other story.
Right.
And watched a movie last night.
Okay. What'd you watch?
I picked it. It was my date night. Made Trish watch it. We watched the 2019 film Cats.
Is there like more than one version of that? What do people say? Seems like people talk about
ones with more or less buttholes in them.
Yes, that's right. All right. That's right. That's what I've heard. Oh, I wish I hadn't remembered that.
So the versioning story of Cats is complicated. So originally they make the movie Cats. They show the trailer. People freak out because it's terrifying.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And then they do some more things to it. And it's the first movie in the history of the world that got patched. It was already released in theaters.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they digitally sent a file to update it with a lot of things.
I think you mentioned that on the podcast when it happened.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Later, in fact, about the time all this quarantining stuff happened, somebody on Twitter was like, I'm collecting weird facts now because I'm bored, whatever. And somebody comes out and says, I have a friend who's a VFX artist who was hired for the Cats production crew to take all the buttholes out of the characters. And everybody's like, what? And then everybody's like, I want to see this. And then everybody's like, this probably isn't real, but it's funny. So then the hashtag release the butthole cut as a parody of release the Snyder cut,
for
Justice League came out, and everybody was really excited about that. And then more recently, somebody, I don't remember the name, but somebody came out and said, I am that VFX artist and it's totally real. But it's not exactly what you think. They didn't intentionally put buttholes on them. But the way the CGI fur was working, it just made a weird little pucker near the butt on everybody. And nobody noticed. And then they were watching in sort of late post-production and somebody's like, what is that? They've all got, what the heck? And they realized this was a problem. So they brought somebody in whose whole job was to digitally remove those. And most likely there is not a cut of it with the buttholes anymore, but.
But you're saying that this was an unintentional special effects artifact, but it happened to be in just the right place?
And I think it's how they shaped the fur is my guess. But that's the story.
Okay.
I had no involvement in this production.
Well, I'm never going to see it, but somehow I'm still relieved that they fixed it. I don't know.
Yeah, so the version you can get and rent for $6 is the patched up but also buttholeless version.
But you like Idris Elba, so you probably thought it was great.
Don't you like Idris Elba?
He's all right. I don't really have
a... I do like Idris Elba. Or I did like Idris Elba. See, I want to be clear. I would have laid down any amount of money before watching this that it was not good. I was not expecting good. I had been told it was not good. I had also been told it was so insane, mind-boggling. How and why did they make this?
Like The Room kind of bad thing? Or?
Well, in a different level, but yeah, that kind of thing. Like a so bad it's good, or at least a so bad that it's fascinating.
Right. Fascinating, right.
And that's why we chose to watch it. It is not.
Not fascinating.
I mean, it has moments. There are a lot of questions revolving around how, why they did this, why they made it's a terrible movie with a lot of very well-known people in it. It's okay. Awful, but it is not fair. Worth hate watching.
Right, but to be fair, it's not a very good musical either. I mean, I've seen it.
That's part of the problem. Is a lot of the stuff I don't like is stuff that I'm pretty sure I just don't like from Cats. But this goes way above and beyond. And a lot of it has to do with the idea that in Cats, there are dancers in cat costumes that are clearly meant to represent cats. In this, there are anthropoid felines who, despite all the talk about how they all had to go to cat school and learn to be feline, move and act nothing like cats. Not remotely like cats. And it's just creepy. It's just so... And it's shot in a way that really wants me to pay attention to cats' crotches, like way more than real cats want me to. And it's just...
way more than real cats want you to.
It's just really... And there are definitely moments where you will stare and scrunch up your face and be like, what is that? How would it... But not enough to make it worth watching. It is not worth seeing. Doesn't make sense. It has a plot, which you'd say, oh, that's a step up from the original. No, because it has a shitty plot. It would have been better probably without the plot. The best thing about it is Ian McKellen, and he's in it for like 5 minutes. And it's totally jarring too, because it's one of those where it's like, oh crap, he brought real acting to this. But like, it made me hate Idris Elba. It made me hate Judi Dench. Like, these are not good things. It's just, oh, it's bad.
These are not good things.
It's bad, but it's not bad in a way that is fun to watch. Like,
but don't you don't really hate Judi Dench, do you?
I hated her in this. The picture, if you will, heavily fur-covered Judi Dench lying curled up in a wicker basket, just smiling knowingly, watching people perform. It's not good. And at the end of one of the performances, she lifts one of her legs straight up for no reason.
Yeah, I don't. I'm having a hard time even putting that together.
You're one of the lucky ones. They kept cutting to her as these performing. And I'm like, no, I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that.
And then there's this one song in the middle that I'm like, this. I know they have at least one song that's not from the original score. I feel like it's this one. This one doesn't feel like the others. And Trish looks it up. She's like, not only is it not from the original, Taylor Swift wrote it. And I'm like, that tracks.
Yeah.
Because Taylor Swift's in this movie.
I did hear
she wasn't singing that song, but.
She wasn't?
No. A lot of weird British accents also, or not very good British accents in places. Accents that went in and out a little bit. Rebel Wilson's performance was almost identical to her performance in the Pitch Perfect movies.
Yeah.
But she was covered in fake fur. Like, I love Rebel Wilson, and I literally hate everything she's in. And this was no different. Like, she's hilarious, and she just does stuff where it's like, it's funny because she's fat and still moves her body around.
You know the first film I saw her in?
What?
Ghost Rider.
Rebel Wilson was in Ghost Rider?
Yeah, she was.
I missed that. And I do tell a lie. I did like her quite a bit in Jojo Rabbit. And in Jojo Rabbit, there were no jokes about her being fat. That's not
a coincidence. In Ghost Rider... there was the part where someone sees him and they're like on the news, and it's this kind of goth girl, and she said, and his face was like a skull and there were flames. Like,
I remember that, and that was great. That was great. Yes. That's her. And actually, some of her best performances for me were playing that damn kangaroo in those cable TV commercials.
I don't think
she's great in that shit where it's not about, oh, look, it's funny because she's fat and she jumps and falls down and like.
Well, they do that with Melissa McCarthy sometimes too.
Yep, but they're doing it constantly with Rebel Wilson. And in this, they did it with her and James Corden, who was also in it. And the whole joke about the two of them was that they were fat. Anyway, don't see it. We should draw a thing out of that. I don't actually know how long this episode is. I don't have a thing that tells me the time, but based on what time we started, we're getting close.
Oh, we are getting close, yeah.
All right. I'm not going to show the hat because your eyes would melt. Not yours, but theirs.
Yeah, not mine.
But I've drawn I've drawn a card. Oh, or did I? Or did I? Is it there? Is it gone? No, you can't see. Ah!
You need to get out of that mystic forest.
If you have a big piece of paper, you can make your whole self disappear. And actually, did I tell you that when we were gaming? Part of my gaming group that were sitting next to each other had a background like the Starship Enterprise bridge from Next Gen.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them, it was a husband and wife, and they're both sitting there, but he had gotten up and he came back. And because of how he did it, he just slowly appeared, and it absolutely looked like he transported onto the bridge. And he didn't do it on purpose, but it was awesome.
That's cool.
All right. Coffee wrote this.
Huh. Coffee. It seems like it's been a while since.
Coffee. What's the one piece of advice you wish you could give to everyone? Don't watch the Cats movie.
Yeah, I haven't even seen it, and I would go along.
That's also the one piece of advice.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's a good one? I feel like this hits on questions we've had before, but is slightly distinct. That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, Vice, wish you could give everyone, because like something that you think people don't know, or that they just need to hear, and maybe it'll help them through their day kind of thing, or.
I mean, advice.
Advice.
See, I feel like my answer is too much. There was one, I think the Jazz once said that was, if you could convince everyone in the world of one thing, what would it be? And I think my answer is the same here. I think this is the same kind of deal.
Why? What was your answer then? I don't remember.
Realized that everyone in the world is no more or no less important than you or anyone else.
Yeah.
But I guess the difference here is in the other one, I'm doing some like mind control-y shit and making everyone believe it. This is me just giving a message to people. And that is not necessarily a useful message to everyone. Cause a lot of people are going to be like, nuh-uh.
Well, I mean, you know, I think one thing that makes it difficult to come up with something is, it's hard for me to think of something that I think that like one piece of knowledge or information that everybody would benefit from that they don't already know. I mean,
I could come up with that, but you also have to add in the caveat that everyone would understand and believe in and take to heart. And just, that's going to be variable.
It just seems like, I mean, I can't even think of one piece of advice that I would give everybody I know, because everybody I know needs a different kind of advice. I mean, nobody has all the same problems. Nobody has all the same.
No, but I think there are universal pieces of good advice, like the one I just mentioned. The problem is, in its format, not everyone is going to hear it. Not everybody's going to understand it. Not everybody's going to believe it. So it's not useful to a lot of them.
Well, but you'll also have a huge population that already knows that. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, I'm okay. I don't think it's that huge, though. And this becomes the thing, too. There are concepts that people know. It doesn't necessarily mean they pay attention to it or they follow it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I grew up in an environment.
Tricky.
I grew up in an environment where everybody, I mean, you just heard people say that all the time. Hey, you're no better or worse than anybody else. I mean, that was a common thing that was said. Although I think you're right. I think there are a lot of people probably heard it and didn't maybe take it to heart as much as, say, I did, or, you know.
It's like all the lovely evangelicals out there who say that they love everyone. They absolutely don't love everyone.
Yeah.
And they may even believe they love everyone. They absolutely don't love everyone.
I guess.
Don't kill bugs.
I guess one thing I don't know if it qualifies as advice, but one thing I would encourage people to do is to instead of thinking of themselves as a disconnected entity that, you know, connects to things, that instead they see that they're a being that is connected to things, like all the time. And think about what those connections are, what the quality of the connections are that you clearly have, instead of focusing on the connections you don't think you have, or how isolated you think you are, or how cut off or alone you think you are. I think if everybody would give it just a little bit of thought, they'd realize that they are connected to lots of people and things, and that it's worthwhile to examine those connections that they do have, and to, you know, maybe what they discover is, you know, that their feelings of loneliness are kind of can be offset or addressed by looking at the connections that they have that are there, and maybe investing some imagination or energy or attention, even just attention to those connections, and they won't feel so alone. Because I think for a lot of people, you know, regardless of what other problems are going on in their life, a lot of times what makes a problem difficult, like really challenging as compared to other problems, is how alienating they feel like it is. Like nobody understands it, or I can't talk to anybody about this or else they'll reject me or whatever. I mean, there's always whatever problem you're going through, there's seems like there's always a dimension that pertains to whether or not you have support or whether or not other people will understand it when you talk to them about it. And so I think alienation or feeling alone or feeling like you're not connected to things it's really tempting to think that you're isolated or to think of yourself by nature as this thing that's separate. I mean, you hear people say that all the time, right? Well, you're born alone and you die alone and all this other stuff. There's this kind of cultural messaging, especially in the United States, that you start out solitary and alone. And if you're connected to anything, you have to like deliberately work hard to make and forge those connections. But if you think of yourself instead as by nature connected, like you are constantly connected to things, you can't even help but connect to things and people, and you focus on the connections that are there, maybe they're not super strong or deep or sophisticated or anything, but they are there. And maybe if you focus on the ways you are connected instead of the ways you're not, you know, you can start to find your way out of feelings of isolation or alienation or depression or anything like that. I think that's somehow to put that message in a nice brief pithy saying or something, or I don't know. I'd probably want to send that out to people so that people can feel less alone all the time, because I think people are generally not as alone as they think they are.
I think this is a really good look for me. Like this, it looks like a fur. Like I look like a chieftain or something. Like I look like something off of Game of Thrones, you know.
Except you have glasses on,
and the purple flowers underneath, and the headset, and everything. I like that. There is always a flip side. I mean, and it is a constant thing we struggle with, especially in the modern world, and especially in the U.S. We're all supposed to be individuals.
Yeah, everybody dependent, yes. self-reliant, yes. And all this other nonsense.
And then you have people like me who not only feel that way but strive to feel that way. I consider sense of connections to be a loss of control and a loss of self. I have honestly too strong of ego boundaries. I don't like joining groups. I don't like joining communities. And so to me, the idea that you're not alone, like, is frequently more threatening than relief on my end. But unlike a lot of people who feel that way, I am aware that that's probably not healthy. I'm just very wrapped up in my own self-identity, and I don't like muddying it with lesser beings. So again, this becomes one that, like, I think that is really good advice that is very tricky to get across. But I think that's probably a good one. I think this is a very difficult question, but I think in the possible answers, that's a good one.
Well, I mean,
I wonder what I did with that card, because I'm going to need to iron this.
I'd probably also be interested in ideas about forgiveness, especially forgiveness of oneself, of gratitude, of humility. But I think a lot of those things, when people feel connected and they examine connections and they appreciate those connections, I think a lot of that stuff comes, you know, compassion comes from that. Yeah. I think gratitude and forgiveness and all those things come naturally. But if you feel disconnected and alienated, that's a thing humans don't like to feel.
And no, absolutely.
If they don't feel like they can do anything about it, then they they start developing defense mechanisms and complexes and neuroses and things like that. And that's why we have our society that
this is the thing, because all the things you mentioned are also things that are good in moderation. And that's what this all comes down to, because everything can go too far the other way. Humility is great until you start thinking of yourself as lesser.
That's right.
A sense of connection is great as long as you don't lose yourself in the group and then no longer feel any sense of agency or self-identity. Everything, even when I was talking about empathy, like you can take that. Empathy can go so far that essentially you ignore your own issues because you are concerned with the greater good, as it were.
Well, that's why I often say that people crave people crave meaningful connection, is the way I like to say it. And they're not two different things. It's not connection and meaning. It's they're two sides of the same coin. And you don't crave meaningful connection because you have no connection. You crave meaningful connection because you have connection, but it's not meaningful. Mm. And by meaningful, part of that thing you just said, it's not going to be meaningful connection if you are like codependent on the person and your identity disappears in them. There's no meaning in that for you personally. I think for a person to have a connection that's meaningful, I think there has to be they have to maintain some of those things you're talking about, where they're not disappearing in the group, but their individual identity is preserved because their individual contribution is important to the group, right? I mean,
and maintaining the group
disappear in it.
Maintaining may be the key word there. I mean, that maybe that's the best advice, is that there's no set final answer to anything. You can't say, you know what, I figured it out now and I can just cruise
That's exactly right.
In your relationships, in your connections, in your sense of thinking you have fostered a good sense of empathy. You can't just assume you're going to keep that forever. You got to be checking in and paying attention. I am the king of extremes, and I tend to push too far that way or whatever. And I don't beat myself up about that as much anymore, because there's never a right answer. There's never, if I do this, then I'm fine.
That's right.
You're constantly adjusting.
Maybe
that's useful. I do. We are definitely over time now, but I do have one more useful piece of advice for everyone. Forgot. I saw another movie.
Oh.
I saw Disney's Onward, Pixar, the new one.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that.
That is on Disney Plus. It is pretty mediocre.
Mm.
Sort of by balancing on both extremes, because there are bits of it that are fairly original, and I kind of really liked how they went with it. There are also bits that were kind of cliche and boring and stuff I didn't like, but mediocre. I will say, if you have recently lost a parent or are soon going to lose one, it is probably not a good movie to watch. Did have a point near the third act where I'm like, this is stupid, and yet I can't stop crying. Mm. And that's not a good feeling to have.
Not.
So watch out for that. But otherwise, it's fine. It's on Disney Plus. If you have Disney Plus, it's free, so whatever.
I don't have Disney Plus.
Well, then you're fucked,
I guess.
But it's not that great, so it's fine.
There's a lot of other things I'd like to watch. I'd like to watch The Mandalorian, for example.
Yeah. Mandalorian's good.
That's
what
I've heard.
All the Marvel stuff and all the Star Wars stuff.
I guess. You just moved really weirdly.
Yes, because I just pulled the camera, or I pulled the computer over to me, because it's time to wrap this crap up. Listen again next week. If you saw this on YouTube, it'll probably be on YouTube next week also. We'll see, but we're going to keep this going, because really, when we're all trapped inside with nothing to do, is not the time to stop your podcast.
No.
It's the time to start a new one, which is why we're announcing. No, I'm kidding. We're not. No. This is, you're lucky you get this. But anyway, we will talk to you next week. And in the meantime, stay safe and drink White Claw.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.